Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome to my channel once again. Anyway, so in this video, I'm talking about the Scottish National Party, the SNP, because just yesterday, their quondam convener, they wouldn't use the English signature word leader, they say convener, Nicola Sturgeon, she had her collar cuffed up by Police Scotland. I don't know why they can't say the Scottish police or just the police. Anyway, Miss Sturgeon, she was arrested and questioned pursuant into an investigation regarding illegal funding of the Scottish National Party and the Yes campaign. Cast your minds back to September 2014 when North Britain held a referendum on whether they wanted to split up the United Kingdom. Remember, the wording of the question is, should Scotland be an independent country? Yeah, there's that, should Scotland be an independent country? Just six words. But obviously, it was deeply dishonest because should Scotland leave the United Kingdom and then seek to join the European Union, in which case it wouldn't be an independent country if it got in, because that was what they were trying to do, get. Anyway, so Miss Sturgeon, she bestrode Scots politics like a colossus for quite some years, having been First Minister of Scotland for 8 years. That's equivalent of a Prime Minister of Caledonia. And as she liked to note, she won eight elections in 8 years. If you take into account the European elections, bearing in mind the United Kingdom was a member state of the EU for much of that time, local elections, as into local councils, Scottish parliamentary elections, and indeed Westminster elections, and her party won 8 out of 8. Now, that is a very creditable record by anyone's standards. Now, it doesn't mean she's going to be charged with something, even if charges were preferred against her. These could be dropped at a later date, or she might well be acquitted. So the presumption of innocence applies to someone even as loathsome as Miss Sturgeon. Her husband, Peter Murrell, who was the party's treasurer, he was arrested several weeks ago and released without charge after, I think, just a few hours, because the police in North Britain have got 8 hours in which to determine whether they're going to lay charges against somebody or set someone at liberty. Now, if they release someone, that doesn't guarantee they won't be charged later. Of course, they could be charged at a later date, could be arrested again. But if the police want to question someone, they can invite the person in for questioning. He or she might go to the police station voluntarily. The person might refuse to be questioned, in which case the police got to take a decision, are we going to arrest this person or not? Now, if they're speaking to you as a witness, that's different. They're not going to arrest you. Now, if they invite you for question, they might actually arrest you when they get to the station. You can't tell. And they might say, we're going to arrest you. Would you like to come at 9 o'clock in the morning, do this in a convenient way? Saves them the bother of going to your house, saves you the inconvenience of being arrested when, you know, at work in the middle of the afternoon, you don't expect it. Or you go to the airport about to fly on holiday, get arrested there. That's a pain in the neck. So it's better for both sides if you can do this by agreement. And by the way, if someone's arrested, the person is not automatically handcuffed. I very much doubt she would be. Not a flight risk, not dangerous. There was really no need to do it. Just say, right, you're under arrest now, as you're sitting on the chair. Okay, we're filling the arrest forms. You are under arrest and questioning for a few hours, because that means obviously you just can't walk out when you feel like it. Of course, nobody's obliged to answer any questions. Now, Miss Sturgeon, being a solicitor, would be aware of this. So there's a figure of £600,000 in funding for the SNP. It was not clear. Was it where it came from? Was it properly accounted for or spent? This is surprising because the SNP was rolling in money for quite a long time. So the SNP traces origins back to the 1920s. There was the Scottish Party and the National Party of Scotland, and they merged in, methinks, 1928. They had no MPs, hardly any councillors to the Second World War, were seen as lunatic fringe. There was that big campaign, after the Second World War, demanding Scots Home Rule, a separate parliament in Scotland within the United Kingdom, the sort of same arrangements they have now, but only one MP out of roughly 70 for Scotland, he was even willing to entertain it. He was that liberal guy who represented Orkney and Shetland, or what on earth was his name, Joe Grimond. And the Labour Conservative parties were dead against. I think even the Communist Party had one MP, Willie Gallagher, for Fife West, he was against. So preserving the oneness of the United Kingdom was accepted across the political spectrum by all but the Liberals, who were a tiny party at the time, with only half a dozen MPs in the House of Commons. And only in the 60s did it start to get going. Now, the SNP, they did have a physician elected to Westminster in 1945 for Motherwell, because the sitting Labour MP died and the SNP forwarded a candidate. There was a wartime coalition, you know, the Liberals, Labour and the Conservatives agreed not to contest by-elections
when you know the sitting party's MP died. And that's how the SNP got in, but that guy lost his election just a few months later in July 1945. It's only 60s they got one another one, 1974 that became quite big, and 1980s they're in the doldrums having lost the 1979 referendum on devolution. It's only the 90s they started to get going, 99, the opening of the Holyrood Parliament, and obviously 2007 got into government and never looked back. People say the SNP is imploding, but you know, all these arrests and investigations have made surprisingly little difference to their support. You go back to the 90s, they're getting about 20% of the vote in Scotland. You know, 2015, they got 50% of the vote. They're now at about 35% of the polls, but they've been in office for 16 years. So one would expect them to be on the down and down, declining. You know, what goes up must come down. They cannot defy political gravity forever. So, but the sophology says that they'll probably be the largest party in Scotland and Holyrood next time. Maybe not in Westminster. There's this tendency for Holyrood elections to vote for the SNP, as in, that's as the Scots Parliament, vote for the Scots party. And whereas for Westminster, we'll vote for the parties which are more specifically about Westminster, Labour, the Lib Dems and the Conservatives. Admittedly, the SNP did do very well in those ones, but not as incredibly well as they did in the Holyrood elections. The one thing is that it's skewed by the way it's first past the post for Westminster, but it's the additional member system for Holyrood, the Scottish Parliament, a complex melange of first past the post and a proportionality, which is actually very fair. So people have been saying that the party is breaking up, but I think that's rather overstated. Remember, Alex Salmond broke away to set up his Alibi party, and they got, I think, two MPs, both former SNP politicians who defected. So they're going nowhere fast. They'll still sink without trace. But the surprising is just how popular the SNP is. They've got this new leader, Hamza Yousaf, First Minister of Scotland, only 37, the first non-white person, the first non-Christian to be First Minister of Scotland. He's a Mohammedan by faith, and he was a very unsuccessful health minister. So he's had no honeymoon at all. But anyway, so he'll lead the SNP into another Holyrood election about 2 years' time. But they may well be the biggest single party. At the moment, they're governing with confidence and supply agreement from the Greens. Would they get that next time? Would someone go into coalition with them? I don't think so. I think the other major parties would be so fed up at them after a long time. The Greens might be willing to do confidence and supply with Labour. Remember, there was a Labour-Lib Dem coalition for the first two terms of the Holyrood Parliament, 1999 to 2003, 2003 to 2007, when they had, Donald Dewar as First Minister, Jim Wallace, the Lib Dem, as Deputy First Minister. Then they had Jack McConnell, then they had Henry McLeish, but always a Lib Dem Deputy First Minister. So it might be some sort of arrangement like that. Anyway, so thank you so much on my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Bye.